The thing I think most dramatic is the most recent announcement by Vivek and OMB that in 2012 is going to be cloud first.
Yep.
So that has such great implications. First of all, it really, I think, turns cloud computing from just data center consolidation, which is what it is today, which is a good thing. And it turns it into, let's get serious, because if you really have to build all new applications in the cloud, you got to get serious about security. You got to get serious about infrastructure. You got to make sure that it's just not cobbled together, that it's reliable. Because the resources are going to be in the cloud.
And it's interesting because we've had just in the last couple of weeks, GSA taking its email into the cloud. Even USDA is using a different cloud, but they're taking their email into the cloud. Even Treasury Department putting its website in the cloud.
The state of California, city of Los Angeles have all just recently brought their email into the cloud. So what this does is it changes from, isn't this an interesting concept? And in my humble opinion, what it really was initially was mostly about data center consolidation. And it really gives it credibility. And it really makes people stop and think you're not going to get your money in 2012 unless you have a plan, a real plan, for cloud, for how you would do this application in the cloud. It's a big game changer, and I think it sort of slipped by more or less quietly because people have been hearing about cloud computing now sort of, you know, every opportunity for years, and now all of a sudden this is money.
Well, now people oftentimes would just call their data center a cloud. Yeah, we have a cloud.
Oh, sure, sure.
Like anything becomes a cloud.
But you can't have 50 clouds.
Yeah.
See, and there's a big difference. So if you're an agency that has 300 data centers or 100 data centers or 50 data centers, you can't. I don't think you're going to get away with a straight face saying I got 50 private clouds.
And does the cost savings? I mean, we always talk about the agility that cloud can provide you, but it seems like in this age of austerity, that the real driver can be, I don't have the money. I have to find a more efficient way of doing this.
Well, as my good friend Tony Valletta would say, it's, first of all, you're going to be able to secure this puppy a lot better than you are now. You'll know your entry and exit points. You can start to really concentrate on not so many of these devices so much, but is actually putting security in at the data level and at the application level. These are the things that are going to make a big difference as we go forward. Up until now, we've been putting patches on Band-Aids on patches. But I think when you make this kind of a real paradigm shift, this real change, and then you put money behind it and you put governance behind it and you say, this is how we're going to do all applications in the future – I think that's the real game changer.
I want to ask you about a separate issue, which I also think is partly the evolution of the CIO and OMB in their big announcement. Part of it was talking about the role of the CIO, and Vivek Kundra wants the CIO to almost be more of a be less strategic and more operational, focus on that stuff, get that stuff right. Is that the right direction to go?
Well, what I've been saying for a long time, and I'm sure a lot of people get tired of hearing it, but the CIO needs to be at not only at the table, but needs to be part of the decision-making process. So if the OMB wants to use the CIO as the channel for these kinds of dramatic, momentous changes, you have to make sure that the CIO is being listened to. And if they're three levels down reporting to an assistant secretary, they get a chunk of that person's time and nothing else. We've also been pushing heavily. I know the SAGE community has been pushing heavily is that it needs to be at least a two-pronged approach. OMB needs to go back down through the PMC, all the deputy secretaries, people who own responsibility for the business. Part of it needs to make sure they understand that the message coming from the CIO is the same message they're getting, which is this administration's or any administration's policy, and you must make it happen.
Yeah.
If the CIO comes in, now some like Roger Roger Baker at VA have the power and the money and the people reporting him, and he's an assistant secretary.
Right. And we were at the GCN Gala where he made a very impassioned, frank, very honest. He said, you know, I have by law the power of the purse.
Right.
If you really want to empower change, give CIOs the power of the purse.
Well, I've been saying that for as long as I can remember, and it's true. And Rogers, and I think most people would admit, Rogers is beginning to make really substantial change at the VA. He's changing the culture. He's changing the way business is getting done. He just made the announcement about open source, which is another very dramatic change. And he controls the people, he controls the money, and he has a seat at the table. When the secretary and all the deputy secretaries get together, Roger's there, and he's explaining his case, and he's in it. Now, the other CIOs, it's a mixed bag.
1 minute on your Vista report, because this was also a big thing that happened this year. And talk to me a little bit. Vista, the big system that develops that essentially health IT for the VA, and you recommended open source.
Yeah, and that's really gaining quite a bit of traction, both in HHS, at Indian Health Service, DOD, and others. And really, as people strip, some people have a notion of what open source means, and you have to delve into what what I would call the hybrid definition for government is. Yeah. But it really allows for the best minds. It's not just via the FARs, a single company gets selected to do a defined product. This is our requirements. Here's the structure. Here's the ecosystem they have to be developed in, and let's open this up to everyone. And so the commercial sector can play, the COTS products people can play, the internal development staff can play. But there's this whole community out there of open source people whose goal is the next greatest line of code, and they get to play as well. And so I think this is, and again, another one of these things where as people get to understand, I can live in this environment, it's safe, it's robust. It really, what's really most interesting, if you look at where the Linux is for now, for example, Linux runs the 20 fastest, biggest computers in the world. So it's not like these things are tinker toys. They're sturdy, they're well designed, they're well developed, and that can be said of an application development environment that you create. This now allows much broader participation, and the rapid advancement and the use of technology that everyone seems to ask for, want, and we don't seem to get.